Hey everyone, this is Josh from Solopreneur Grind, and I am here with Coach Owen Lewis. Owen, really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Yeah, no, glad to be here, and glad to kind of have a chat, Josh, and see what we ramble on about.
Awesome, me too. So, Owen, just to get us started, get the listeners caught up, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're working on now, and what I also love to do is hear about how you got started. So, however you want to approach that question.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, so my name's Owen Lewis. I'm a fitness coach, a wellness kind of guy, helping busy professionals, in particular busy entrepreneurs, get in shape, that are short on time, that want to get more energy, have more time with their kids, be able to just really create good memories. I help them get in shape, you know, by honing in on both lifestyle, nutrition, exercise, so kind of a full package. With originally kind of got started, I started out as your average kind of gym guy, particularly when I was about as a footballer when I was younger, soccer you might kind of call it over in Canada. So it started out in a bit of that. Got into the gym, just my passion took over for the gym, as it was only me. As it was primarily, I didn't rely on a team effort. I didn't rely on other people. I didn't rely on training a couple of nights a week. I showed up at the gym every day, you know, 5 days a week, a standard then, as you start to do when you're an entrepreneur and run your own business. So I took the passion for that because it was only me that decided the results. From there, I went on to knowing that I wanted to be in the fitness industry, went into the fitness industry, and just seeing that I went a little bit beyond just knowing exercise. That what was really important was how to make the change in people and more about the habits, the lifestyle, not just the reps and the things that you do at the gym and the effort you put in there, but also what you're doing outside, how you're managing your life, how you're managing your sleep. So it took me more down into the coaching path of it and a little bit more deeper into them roles to make greater influence on people, and also start branching out into the more mindset side, trying to help people that may have depression, anxieties, these kind of things, and managing them with both exercise and also overcoming some difficulties, whether that is through the gym, but also taking on the hurdles, the challenges, whatever life throws its way.
Right. And the reason I think I reached out to you initially was, as someone who's worked for himself now for basically a year and a half, I found that it's so important to take care of yourself mentally and physically. So I'm definitely going to have a lot of kind of tips and tricks type questions to get to. But where I want to start with first, Owen, is you started out, did you start out kind of like as just a traditional gym coach?
Yeah, traditional personal trainer.
And then can you take us through the evolution of, because I love your niche, right? And I talk about this on other episodes and some of my other content, the importance of niching. And I love yours, especially because it applies to me. But how did you evolve from kind of regular gym trainer to what you are now? Or even if it came in a few steps, then take us through those steps.
Okay. It's a good question. I think it started by just training pretty much everyone and anyone at a gym. It soon you start to notice where your energy, where you feel energized, the people you enjoy coaching, training. For me, I take it more than just training. It evolved into gym coaching, as in I was teaching these people rather than just standing around counting reps and numbers. So it diverged into primarily working with guys. I just found that they took my attitude less to heart and more as a joke. And it's not saying anything against women, just the majority of men got along a lot better with. Mm-hmm. And then it diverged into finding people that were also like me, that had the creative outlets, that wanted to have these creative breaks, that wanted to make these changes and were short on time. Also, because my method that I'd use is called the ROI method. So like return on investment, but for me, it's also about just that efficiency in the gym. I never push my workouts to be over 30 minutes. I never try and make everything as simple as possible. So that most suits that type of profession, busy professionals, entrepreneurs, people who enjoy, and that's the thing as well, who enjoy working, you know, 12 hour days, you know, mm-hmm. if needs be. It's great working, you know, having days that are 6 hours, but, you know, sometimes we have to push in and put a little bit extra. We're short on time. So I found these people were most similar to me and that I could most resonate with, that I could most speak to, whether that's true content, but also feel that a connection of true, genuine, these were the people I enjoyed working with, true experience as well.
Right. Yeah. So it's cool to hear that, how it kind of just naturally progressed and your market kind of presented itself to you based on kind of the services you were offering. I'm assuming you were kind of working out of a gym. Like, were they paying you, and how did you move on from that?
Mm. Yeah, so I was working out of a gym. I also was traveling a bit as well in between. But then also it just hit a further reach that I could target more people when not just singling into, well, you're very limited when you only have a gym or your local area, when you can start to branch out and go online. And even more so, you can only make a certain amount of change from standing over someone. It's like sick of seeing people coming into a gym, and you may catch up with a client in, say, 6 months, or you get people that are coming into you and they're on their like 7th, 8th, 9th personal trainer. And that was very common. That would happen. People would say, you should have this problem fixed by now. Why is this problem not fixed? Because they were only addressing the certain issues, always like, if I show up the gym and I do this, I'm okay. And they'll go on a binge like diet, or they'll have someone that told them to do this like paleo or whatever approach that they want to do, ketogenic, all these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But they've never actually crafted or have someone that's sitting there tailoring the experience specific to them. Tailoring the habits and talking about the stuff that's more important is outside of the gym. You know, you can't show up with a trainer just once a week, but someone who's sitting there going, okay, this is what the plan is for this week. And when you give someone the power in their own hands to say, you know, I believe you, can go away and do these 3-4 workouts, whatever it is, for 20 minutes this week, or not even say that I believe them, but ask the client, what do you think you could do this week? And they might only say 2 workouts. Like, some people who are flying all over the world, but like, I can get 2 workouts done in a hotel room. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Let's do that. Let's do that this week. And next week when we catch up, they weren't reliant on me, but they actually followed through with their own willpower, their own discipline, not because they'd had an appointment to see a personal trainer at a gym and hung out with them for an hour chatting and whatever, getting a little bit of a workout in between. No, they took the time out themselves. So they built that discipline. They built the internal structures, which are far greater and far longer lasting than particularly a lot of people go to the gym. And it's finding out the deeper understanding of why someone wants to change. Is it because their wife's maybe on at them to get it, you know, in shape? Maybe is it that they feel, you know, they're not the rock star that the dad that they want to be? Maybe they want a bit more efficient or hitting a slump in the middle of the day. But often people then, in gyms, hire a personal trainer, and basically what they'd call in the fitness industry is a rent-a-friend. Some personal trainers are what you call a rent-a-friend, where you're basically paying someone to just supervise you for an hour. So you have the accountability of showing up for that person. I believe more so in entrusting the client and building a structure that suits whatever that given week is. And they're building also the internal structure. It's making the client self-efficient. So as well, in personal training, the idea is to get like a client and have them for, you know, 5, 10, 20 years. But instead, what happens is if you just go, you know what, this is going to be 12 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever the person needs, you're like, okay, if we do this in this much time and I feel you'll be confident at the end of this, let's do that, if that makes sense. It's equipping them better than having them reliant on us.
Yeah, so it sounds like you put together like a package or a custom offer. Do you do that per client? You'll kind of have an intake and then say, well, based on your needs or based on this time period, I propose this and here's the price?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will likely be that more often than not, I'll do 12 weeks, because I think as well, that's the amount of time that it would take to make lasting habitual changes, if we're likely going to look at something like changing about 5 to 10% of lifestyle change, like if someone comes in, they're way out, like they don't have that much to lose, but their sleep pattern might be off. We might start with just looking at one basic meal, like changing up what dinner looks like that week, you know, and then the next week it could be lunch. It really depends, though, at what pace someone could move at. And I normally get a judge of that when first talking to someone. I'm finding out what the needs and desires are of how quick of a change they are. Some people are all in. So it can really depend. That could go as far as, say, 6 months, or it could be anywhere like likely 12 weeks. I think we can make a lasting change. Some people just need like 6 weeks, quick change, turnaround. They might pick up some habits in there, but I think most often it's 12 weeks that people need that lasting change and really to ingrain them habits and be that efficient without the help of a coach, mentor, or whatever.
Right, right. So I really want to get into the tips and things you suggest and dieting and exercising for entrepreneurs. But really quickly, if you, I just want to stay on the kind of business side of things for one or two more questions. So you found this awesome niche that you connect with. You have this kind of really cool way of creating custom plans for people. What did you start doing kind of tactically? Did you start an Instagram page? I know you have a website. What is it you did to say, okay, I'm going to start, I'm really going to push this, like kind of your client acquisition plan or your sales plan?
I think at first it's many as well just speaking a message that is true and authentic to yourself, and then that will come out. Normally just picking a few mediums that you want to spread that on. Building an email list of people that are, as I'd say, giving permission, so they're opting into an email list, so they're people that want to hear from you. So you can really narrow that. You'll really have a group of, like as they say, a tribe, but you start to have, you know, them fans that you actually really enjoy interacting with. And when they send you emails back, you're, you know, it really cheers you up, and you start to build a family nearly with that. Also for me, using stuff like LinkedIn, I find a lot better. Instagram is just slowish, as in it's hard to have an interaction and an engagement back and forth with people. I use Facebook for a bit, using sometimes Facebook ads, but also then just mainly using stuff like LinkedIn, where you can have direct outreach. You can be more around, it's for people that are there to do business, and we can get to that kind of straight in talking about business. And then as well, just building that email list. So just staying consistent with a few. I think it's better to just do a few things really well than to kind of spread out everywhere and not do anything really well at all.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So Owen, let's go into probably the part that I'm most excited about, because like I said, I work for myself, and more importantly, I've worked a lot from home in the last year. And I found that especially when you work from home, you're not going into an office, you don't have people around you, you don't have like a gym on the way. It's so much more important from a mentality point of things to make sure you're still doing that kind of, you know, healthy stuff that we all know you should do, exercise, eat well, et cetera, et cetera. So do you have any kind of like beginning remarks or really big observations you've made so far on just what it's been like working with entrepreneurs so far?
Yeah, I think working from home, of course, you're going to have to build that discipline to do it yourself as well and just get up and do it. I think it's more of a benefit as well working from home, rather than you don't have to say, well, I got to go 20, 30 minutes down to the gym, which though in some cases good to get out of the house if you're stuck there. But if you just have a set of dumbbells, you know, a kettlebell, whatever it is, you could get 10, 15 minutes done. It's scheduling as well in the day, being consistent, being like, you know what, I'm going to have lunch at this time, I'm going to do this. It's very easy to get stuck behind the computer and all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, 10 hours into the day and haven't eaten at all and, you know, barely moved. So it's good to kind of schedule these breaks, both for health and wellness standpoint, but creativity, performance-wise. If you schedule in these breaks and you go out, and even if it is something like, it depends where someone's starting, but some people it's just like, you know, go for a walk around the block. If it's a nice day, the weather's good, get out, go for a stroll, come back. You know, you're going to clear up, you're going to open up them gaps within your thoughts, that it goes down into the subconscious and you start to come out with them creative processes that are very, very important, as we all know, for entrepreneurs, people that are looking to make them breakthroughs and be that creative edge. You know, it's admin stuff like exercise is going to help you just burst out with them ideas start flowing. So just scheduling in the time, taking time, trying not to overcommit. Like I said, it's a walk around the block sometimes. Sometimes it's a 10-minute workout, sometimes it's 15. But I think people make the mistake in starting to think that it has to be an hour-long workout. It's like, it doesn't. It can just be short, like 10 minutes, three times a week. Whatever you can manage with your schedule, that's absolutely fine. Start small, a little by little, a little becomes a lot.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So do you have a recommendation? Let's say a guy like me, late 20s, I am pretty active. I play some sports and stuff, but I do want to make sure to be active, and I try to get out and go for a walk at least once a day. Do you have a recommendation for like an intro at home workout that someone like me could do?
Yeah, so I created one a few months ago on my website. I was giving away. It was basic, just standing press. You might just do which a couple of dumbbells, going overhead. Then you go into something like a bent over row. Then you go into something like a deadlift. And then some lunges will probably be a good, or floor press. So you're just going from upper body, lower body, just alternating movements like that. Very easy. Just keep the intensity up. You don't have to have just pick dumbbells that are comfortable. Just keep your heart rate steady at a pace that's maybe like 7 out of 10, something like that, and just hold it. Where you're maybe not quite like gasping, like, but you're not breezing by like singing to your favorite music. You know, you might just be kind of struggling to get your words out if you were to sing a song. So that would kind of hold your heart rate at that sweet spot. That's kind of the sweet spot where you're going to get most benefit, most fat burn, and that toning effect, muscle build, and all them kind of effects are in that sweet spot. So it is about finding that what they call zone of proximal development. Find the zone, holding your body in that zone for around 10 or 15 minutes, and that's plenty.
Right. And how many times a week would you recommend for something like that?
It's whatever they can do.
Let's say I have 30 minutes free every day. Should I be doing this 7 days a week or 5-6 days a week?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just listen to your body, like just see what your body says. If you have that much every day, it's not going to be overly taxing on the body because you're not doing hour-long workouts like you might have done before.
Right.
Dialing it back. It's like, you know what, I'm just going to do a little each day. It's about consistency, not about that burst of intensity. You know, doing 60 minutes once a week. It's better to do, you know, 10 minutes six times a week. So it's just doing that gentle little bit. And if you can do that, you know, great. If it's body weight, you could just do some push-ups. Like, you know, start simple. Push-ups, a couple of planks, things like that. It's just starting small. Whatever you can commit to on a small level, then, you know, maybe that's only twice a week. Then build it to three times a week. You keep growing from there and building into habits.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Owen, what about you've alluded to mindset and stuff and work-life balance and things like that. I'd love to go into that. In terms of mindset, what type of stuff do you talk about? I'd love, because I'm so curious about that stuff. And I mean, I do things like meditation and journaling. So I'm interested to hear more about what your thoughts are on the topic.
Well, recently I just finished publishing a book and I called it Man the Fuck Up and Learn to Love Yourself. Now, the concept of the book was going to just be Man the Fuck Up, but I thought there needed to be the other angle in it, that to really, we need to start directing that self-love and that compassion inwards. And why the story in the book premises on when I was younger, I was 19 and I was actually really depressed and I was having suicidal thoughts. And it really just drove me into a dark place. And I came out of that actually by, I met a girl on a weekend. You know, one of my friends dragged me out, met a girl, she then became the emotional anchor for me. And I was like, right, now I'm happy because I finally found someone that can love me. But once that ended, I was nearly back at square one. So I couldn't find really love until I loved myself. So it's about finding that compassion for ourselves, manning up and starting to take that action in terms of exercise. Some people can just get out of shape and be like, I haven't done anything. But also building that mental muscle through the gym, the discipline to do it on the days that you may not want to do it. Just, you know, having the discipline to show up consistently and giving yourself a pat on the back when you do it, but not relying on the wave of emotions. So I think that is one way to do it, is particularly just doing the work when you need to get it done, just showing up, listening to the thoughts. So true stuff like whether that's meditation, journaling, all great tools that I use myself and have, but it's consistency as well on doing these things. It's not just good enough to meditate once a week, like I said. You know, someone might go, oh, I meditated for an hour today, then didn't meditate again. Showing up and regularly doing it, it's like, whatever you can do, 10 minutes in the morning, awesome. Find the time and day that you journal. Being aware, are these helping? Is it stepping forward? It's using the meditation to calm us down and then recognizing the thoughts when it comes, like being aware of what's draining the energy, what's taking out of us, watching out for where the thought originates and how that thought morphs and changes, whether that's a thought of that you're not good enough, whether you can't achieve something, whether you're too tired to do a workout. It's like asking that thought, is this actual reality? Is it true? And when we start to listen to that voice in our head and actually tell it that it's true, then we start to self crumble and fall apart and just come apart at the seams and hopeless. But when we start to empower ourselves, I'm like, you know what, this is not real, it's not that true, I can do a workout today. I am a little bit tired, even though I got all my sleep, I'm good, you know, I'm gonna go and do something. And anyway, I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna write them emails, you know, I'm gonna show up and put that assignment together, whatever it is, I'm gonna post that article. Just showing up and doing the work no matter what, is really start to build that discipline and build that willpower muscle, which is the most important, to build that and show up even when we're not feeling that up to it.
Right. Absolutely. That's such a great message. Oh, and what would you say are the three biggest struggles or problems that you notice amongst, maybe they don't come on as clients, but you know, you have like an intro call with a potential client. What are the three biggest problems or patterns you've noticed with dealing with your clientele?
I think three biggest problems would be probably just focusing a little too much on what is the right exercise or what's the right this, that. I think primarily is that there's no right or wrong. It's just doing something. It's just, again, showing up. Like whether you're, oh, my shoes, I don't have my clothes on, whatever this, that. I don't have weights, just do some push-ups, show up. Number two, probably if to say something fitness related would be drinking water. Just most people just don't drink enough water.
Right. You know,
should be getting like 2-3 liters, 4 liters in some case, probably a liter per kilo of body weight. So that maybe about roughly about per 50 pounds of body weight, getting a liter of water. I'm not sure what that is in gallons or ounces. And then the biggest thing, and this decides whether sometimes really whether I decide to work with someone or not, is what's the drive? Like, what the fuck are you doing it for? It's like, right. Some people just like, what is the point of going through, say 12 weeks of transformation? Like, why are you here? Why do you want to do this? What's the significance of this to you? And unless someone can really give a good reason, well, I just want to get in shape, I want to look better. Why do you want to look better? Is it to, you know, attract a partner into life that's like, you know, you want to be able to be respectful of yourself so that then, you know, you may get respect of a significant other? Is it that you want, you know, your children to be have more energy? Is it something that you don't feel confident taking your top off at whatever, at the pool or at the beach in the summer? when you went on vacation, you just didn't really like how you felt. You know, it's that. And then even if the people do have a recognition of what it is, it's believing in themselves that they can actually do it, or that they're going to stay along for something like 12 weeks to make significant change and lasting change. It's sticking the time to say, you know what, I'm ready to make a change. I'm going to dig deep and I'm going to commit to a long-term goal. So even if I put it actually in a fourth as well, as people not committing to the goal, not going beyond, like just half-heartedly giving it a goal. I'll often say this is like, what's the outcome? So if you say, I want to lose 30 pounds in 12 weeks. Awesome. It's or some people might just go, oh, I just want to lose some weight. It's not good enough. It's like, mm-hmm. you need to go beyond, like, how much weight? Because there's this thing that they say now in kids sports, it's like, let's not count the score, because it's so that there's no winners, there's no losers, you know, let's just not count. It's like, mm-hmm. No, we need to count. We need to know where the imagine businesses just went, let's not count how much money we make, let's just see what happens. And right. We need to count the score. We need to know what's a positive, what's a negative, like what's winning, what's losing. So if we set the goal as let's lose 20 pounds or whatever, let's say 24 pounds in 12 weeks, then we know after 2 weeks, if we haven't lost 4 pounds, we're not on track. If we've only lost 1-2 pounds, something needs to change. So it's following the metrics. It's analyzing. The same with business. They say what gets measured gets managed. So if you right. measure, gets managed. If you measure your how many clients you're taking on, you're measuring your ad spend, you're measuring, the more you measure, the more you can manage it. So you apply the same into fitness. So measure it and it gets managed. So there, I think there was about 4 or 5 in there, but they all tie into each other in some way. It's knowing the significance.
So do you have, so especially for like the first two, which I can definitely see, you know, like drink more water, don't worry about what you're doing, worry more about just doing it. Those are like, I don't want to say easy fixes, but it's like, you know, if a smart entrepreneur is listening to this, they can kind of figure it out. What would you recommend for someone who maybe has that third or fourth problem? So, mm-hmm. You know, they don't have their motivation. Maybe they don't have their motivation figured out. Or they don't manage anything. Do you have any suggestions on how they can improve in those areas?
Yeah. So what I often say is to have a look back at why are you doing this? So I use in the book, I kind of give some tips on this, and it's I use the acronym BRIM, so B-R-I-M. How is this going to improve your business, your relationships, your image, and your mindset? Or how is being out of shape affecting any of them? How is it affecting your business? Is it causing you to be low energy so you can't, you know, you're not confident in yourself, so you're not making the deals that you need to make? If it's in a sales kind of point of view, whatever it is related to your business, how is it affecting that, if it is at all? How is it affecting the relationships? Is your partner I'll ask you to get in shape. Have you maybe not had sex in a long time because of something related to do with your weight? Or you haven't found the relationship yet because you're just not confident in yourself. And then into image. So in your image, when you're standing in the mirror, are you happy with what you see back? Or do you think you can do better for yourself? Do you think you can push on and be more? And then mindset, how is it affecting mental health? Is it, you know, are you feeling slow? Are you feeling depressed, anxious all the time? You know, sometimes that anxiety is just a way of our body reacting out in fear because we're not pushing to our real potential. So we kind of implode rather than explode out with fucking creative potential, being awesome. We actually implode inward with that anxiety, is what I've found. So we can see how that's affected in the past. And then for the future, is going forward, is like, what would your life be like if it's ideal? Like, so let's use the example again. You want to lose, say, 20 pounds. Great. You want to lose 20 pounds, 12 weeks. What's going to be different? How's your life going to improve? How would you want your, you know, business to look like? You know, well, I want to take on, you know, whatever. Let's say I want to take on 5 new clients a month, and each client's at, you know, 3 grand. So I want to take on 15 grand. Okay, there you go. Let's build towards that. And getting in shape means you're going to have to take another whatever amount of meetings is, double, triple the meetings, whatever that has to be. Like, you can start to work backwards. I'm using the example of business in that standpoint, but the same with any kind of avenue. You want to find a relationship. Okay, you got to get in shape, and then you got to start showing up in an avenue where it is. Maybe it's going on dates, going into putting yourself into them situations. But how would your ideal situation look like? What would it ideally be? I'm sure we never imagined ourselves being that 20 pounds overweight. It just kind of happened. You have to have a clear vision of what you want your life to be, because again, that's what winning looks like. You have to have a vision of what that winning looks like, what that ideal circumstance looks like to get there. But if you don't know where you're going, you're just, if you ever hear the saying, pissing into the wind.
Yeah.
You're just shooting forward and it's just blown right back at you because you don't know actually know where you're going. You're just like, when we know the destination, I kind of say it's like getting from New York over to California. Pop it into the sat nav. You can just follow the route, you follow the map, and eventually you get there. You might have some guidance from the sat nav, maybe a coach or a trainer or something like that. But you got to know the destination. If you don't know the destination, you're just going for a Sunday drive where you're just driving around, just going, oh, I'll go left here, I'll go right here, and just taking random turns. You never really end up anywhere because you don't know where you're going. So I'd say that Right. Focus on what's the problems with business, relationships, image, mindset that are occurring now. Then also, where is it that you want to get to? What's that ideal future look like? And try get that, as much detail into that. I'll often do this with potential clients on calls and see what, and I'll help dig into that with them and say, what does this actually look like? What are we looking for? What's your perfect kind of night going to be like? What's your perfect day? If you everything went perfect according to you, how would all this look? What would it be like? What would your perfect holiday be like? Whatever it is, we kind of paint a picture, a mental image, a mental movie of what their ideal life situation is like. Make it very vivid, and then it feels that potential. It's easy then. Often people say is after, it just feels very doable. I just got to put in the work.
Right. That's great stuff. I want to ask a kind of selfish question. Do you do diet and like, do you cover food and stuff like that as well?
Yeah. So that's what I'll often cover with clients is as we start into some coaching is like, what do they feel they need? As in, first thing might be, let's look at some food. It might be what I'll often do with clients is first thing is just go over a picture diary. I'll get them to take pictures of all their food for, say, a couple of days. And then we'll just discuss with the client is like, how can this improve? How do you think this meal can get better? So clients will talk back to me about how they think they can improve that. And then I might give in some suggestions as well. But I think it needs to as well come, because most often we know these things inherently in ourselves. But then also I might give some professional suggestions on, you don't have to really cut out all the carbs. They might say, I've got to cut out more carbs. I'll be like, okay, you know what? Let's not go too cray cray. We can keep some carbs and stuff in there. We can have a balanced approach, because the primary thing as well then, which often is with diet, is adherence. It's all about adherence. It's like, can you maintain this for not 12 weeks, not a year, the rest of your life? We're looking for an approach that's going to fix this and sort out for the rest of your life. So it's like, in terms of, we don't just, have a key and going around like, this is the dial, having a magic key in our hand and going around looking for locks that can open it and go, no, not this one, not this one. No, we have a lock, which is the problem of that person's diet or weight loss or whatever the goal is. And then we have to tailor make and craft a key that actually fits into that lock and unlocks it for that person, so that they then have the freedom to, whether that is like, I've had some people that want to say drink 10 beers on a Friday. I'm like, cool. Let's kind of make the strategy. They were like, that's the only thing I want to be able to do. And I'm like, okay, we'll build a plan around that, because they tried every other plan and everyone tells them they can't drink alcohol. It's like, it's not realistic to that person. So let's work with what they set and then we'll work back from there.
For sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We might have to talk off air for helping me figure out my lock and key. But do you have like two or three tips for me, I'm pretty good with meals, but I usually don't eat enough during the day. I get too busy. I forget. I get lazy. I don't buy enough at the grocery store. Do you have like two or three tips on or like two or three good snacks that you suggest, maybe in between meals on the healthy side that will help with energy?
Yeah, so it depends. So if some working at home like that for quite a long time, it's like you don't want to just load up on carbs because you're going to hit this mad sugar rush and then you're just going to slump. So it might be something like just reducing the carbs, particularly in the first half of the day. And as you go towards the latter half of the day, as you kind of unwind, you might save some calories and stuff for later at that time of the day. So maybe, and this again really just depends on the person. Of me personally, I like to fast in the morning. I just find it easy. I get up, do my meditation, do my bit of reading of, say, something like some philosophy, drink lots of water, have a coffee, and then I might have a meal about 6 hours into the day. And that actually might be quite a substantial meal, particularly though, because I'm going to go to the gym, do some other kind of bits and bobs and be moving around. But if you're just jumping up straight onto a computer or doing something like that, you might have something light. So you're loading your carbs up at the early part of the day. Well, you might structure, say, about 50% of your food volume before and after your workout. So primarily trying to feed towards activity. That makes sense. Right. You want to feed around your activity. There's no point in eating a massive breakfast and a massive lunch and then you're working out in the evening and you're like 20% of your food intake's that. Like, feed the activity level. If you're not active and you're just laying around, then you know, you might only have to eat once a day, if even. Like, you could probably get a buy on not eating all day. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about how many meals, how many this, feeling a little bit hungry. You know, piece of fruit is often good. Maybe it's often that you're just not drinking enough water. You can just load up a bit more water, and that would often help.
Right, right. This is great stuff. Oh, and really appreciate all of this. It's such a wide array of topics for entrepreneurship, which I love. Do you have a last question here? Do you have another two or three piece of advice, maybe just someone who's getting started with entrepreneurship or is interested in doing something like you, just kind of general, like if you were to go back and do this again, or if you were to advise someone who's just getting started, what would you tell them?
Yeah, good question. I think it's just finding what lights you up, like what energizes you. I think what I noticed in fitness is a lot of people in the fitness profession way that when I came in, just they did it because they didn't want a regular job. Most times they didn't really have a passion for helping people. They maybe enjoyed exercising themselves, but the passion wasn't helping other people. They just enjoyed going to the gym and this was an easy way, and they thought it was going to be like fun and, you know, lifting weights all day. It's a completely different kind of sphere. So it's making sure that you're actually passionate about it. I actually took a year off as well traveling, and I worked in an office for a bit just so I could reconfirm the idea that fitness and coaching was what I really enjoyed. So I took a year off just to reconfirm that idea. And then I was like, yeah, no, this is definitely what I want to do. This is what I have a love and a passion for. So I think it has to start with that. I think that's just the primary thing. I don't want to fill it into two or three different things, because you can't really hack or market and do that your way all the way to the end to making a business. I think it comes true in passion. That will come true in your, you know, the words you say, the actions, the emotions, you know, your thoughts. All these will feed into each other. And if they're not in alignment, if any way they're off, like if your thinking is off, you're like, you know, I don't really enjoy this, but I'm just doing this because of this. And that's your thoughts. That's going to come across in your words, and it's going to come across in your actions. There's going to be a misalignment. You probably get this when you talk to certain people. It's like, you're just like, just something's off about that guy. I just don't get it. Something's off. That's your inner kind of dialogue. And if you can learn to listen to that, it tells you, it's a trust in you. I remember the Japanese have a word for it, but it's kind of telling them in sales, like, you know, something tells me he's off about this guy. When you can line that up and just find that it is your purpose, your passion, and something you really enjoy, you know, it's going to come out in every action. It's going to energize you. You're going to enjoy doing it. And then just enjoy the ride. Like, you're going to fail a lot. There's going to be a lot of like parts where you're not going to succeed. You're going to feel like, you know, what's the point? Thrown in the towel. I've had so many times where I've gone, like, you know what, let's just give up. Years ago, like, even still, I'm like, let's just give up. I don't feel like it now. but it's having the discipline to persevere, play through. And I think that the lessons in life are also lessons that I learned through, say, exercise, like showing up and doing it when I don't feel like it, sticking on the plan and not binging off when, you know, don't feel like it, but just sticking up and showing up consistently over time, that then starts to get recognition and you'll stand out as a standout person.
Right. That's a great one answer. Didn't even need the second or third. Owen, really appreciate you coming on again. Do you have anything, where can people find you? Do you have anything you want to promote right now to the listeners?
Yeah. So, like I said, you can probably find out more at www.coachownlewis. So it's OWENLEWIS. Recently just released my first book, Man the Fuck Up and Learn to Love Yourself. And that entails the ROI method, as I talked about earlier, kind of like return on investment. But for me, that is, OR stands for rituals, which is the habits, the lifestyles that you ingrain, the backbone, the pinnacle of this hierarchy, which is rituals. The next stage up is outer, which is the habits that you do, whether that's exercise, your nutrition. But again, they have to be ritualized. So it's working down the hierarchy still. And right at the top of that hierarchy is internal. That's the I in the ROI method. And that's your mindset, how you view yourself, how you manage yourself. And with that I as well, that passes down into, you know, the outer that you do, which is your meditation, your gratitude, as we kind of spoke of, and then also making that a ritual. So that's the Man the Fuck Up and Learn to Love Yourself. A bit of my story is in there as well of, you know, overcoming quite severe depression and being able to come out at the other end and start to direct love inward, feeling gratitude, feeling happy, and, you know, starting that with as well, getting in shape.
Great. And we'll have links to those in the description. Owen, thank you again. This was really great. And I definitely hope to stay in touch.
Yeah, Josh, I loved it. Great chatting to you, and hope you have a great day.
Thanks. Same to you. Hey everyone, Josh checking in. Just one more time, wanted to say thanks a lot for listening to the episode. Hope you got a lot of value out of it. And I wanted to see if you're interested in joining my email list. The link will be in the description of whatever podcast platform you're listening to this episode on, whether it be iTunes or Google Play or whatever. And what I do is I send out 3 emails a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually in the morning. And they're pretty short, usually around 300-400 words. And what I'm doing is sharing some extra thoughts, insights, ideas, struggles, lessons I've learned, because I am running my own service business too, and I love to share my thoughts, opinions, and just want to add some more value right to your inbox every week. So if you're interested, take a look at the sign up link in the podcast description on whatever you're listening this to on, and I hope to see you there, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. Take care.